Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, always a subpar performer, back after a couple of days off. We really thank Steve Kushiloff for coming in and filling in and boning up on all these national topics and arguing the heck out of the president, but Joe wasn't listening the whole time anyway. And Joe McGranahan is
back. I'm not listening.
See? But you know I'm talking about you.
I see your lips moving, but I don't hear what you're saying.
You hear nothing. Okay, well, I'm glad you finally admitted that. We've known for some time that you bring some great 1950s viewpoints to the studio, and you haven't listened since, so that's good
Thank
to know.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Very active in the community, though. He's the natural-born mayor of Shamokin.
Natural-born mayor.
it's a job he's should have had. We're glad that he has, but he should have been that all his life. So he's a good guy. That's Joe. He's like Santa Claus says to kids. He's a good boy. Joe's a good boy. Oh, you better watch that. We'll make you Santa, you know, one of these days in the mall or wherever they need a portrayal. And on the other side of the glass, Rob Center. We're glad that he took care of everybody this week as well. So we appreciate his hard work. And Matt Catrillo's in the newsroom, On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. The hometown pharmacies are the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Noray Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. So we appreciate their sponsorship today. We'll have more to say about that. Well, we are very glad to say that really two political candidates are in the studio. One's an incumbent commissioner, and that is Sam Schicitano, who's been a Northumberland County commissioner for the past 3 years and would like to be a commissioner for another 4 years. Somehow within his household, convinced his lovely bride that being commissioner is somehow worth it. Worth it to him, I suppose, but he's here. And so
when he's not coaching football, that is.
Right. No, he's a good coach. He's been an educator. He's got a heck of a resume. We'll let him out like that. Welcome aboard, Sam. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, Sam. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you guys for inviting us.
I do appreciate that. And you brought a man who is going to go down on the ticket as your running mate. He's a fellow Republican. Joe Klebon is here. Also a known entity in the community. Lots of folks know him. So welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you.
I appreciate
the
you.
The fact that you're both here indicates that you probably have an announcement you'd like to make this morning, Sam.
Yes. You know, I think it's about time. When you know, going back to Thanksgiving when Rick decided and we were talking about him not running, my first inclination was also, you know, not to continue on just because of a lot of the things that were happening. But, you know, talking to Rick and Rick sort of convincing me, and I think I was on the show around that time. And Mark asked me if I was going to, you know, run again. And I remember saying, you know, I don't think that's up to me. I think that's up to the people. And if the people want me to run again, they'll let me know. And I will say, since that time, people have let me know that they'd like me to run. I think I showed Mark a letter I received from a senior citizen in the Ralpho Township area. Who asked me to continue to run. I have a lot of people in our department heads, work in our departments in the county who have asked me. Actually, yesterday I was at Walmart before I came to work, and three senior citizen people stopped me and talked to me at that time. And
you passed the Walmart test.
Well, yes, I passed.
That's the final dividing line for all political candidates. But anyway, go ahead, please.
Yeah, but it wasn't just a decision that, you know, I made right away. But the longer I went and the more I've I see a lot of people do care. A lot of people do care what's happening, and a lot of people want good people in office. And I think it's time for me to make that decision. And today I'll be announcing that I am going to run again. I will be putting my name in for county commissioner. And one of the things when Rick, again, Rick's been a great mentor for me, especially in the beginning of my term when we first started out. And, you know, as we talked, you know, I felt if I'm going to run, I want to run with someone, even if it's in the primaries, that I know is going to put the time in, that I know is going to be in the office, that I know is going to do the right things, I know is going to research, not always agree with me, but at least, you know, work together with me. And Joe Clebon, who's here today, you know, start talking to me before Christmas, and we start talking and you know, throwing things around, and decided if I do run, I'm going to run in the primaries with a partner. I know that's unusual, but I just think you need to have someone who's like you, someone who's going to work hard, someone who's going to be there, and someone who's going to do the right thing. And for that reason, I will be running in the primaries with Joe also.
Well, we've watched you very carefully over the last 3 years, and there's no doubt in my mind that no one puts in more time on the job than, or gives it more thought or more dedication than you, Sam. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, I've watched you with, you've been on the program a number of times with the jail. You always seem to be deeply immersed in what's going on and trying to figure out what the best route is for the county. Even some of the people who oppose you politically will concede how hard you work. You know, do you think that you're going to be able to continue that?
Well, if I didn't, I wouldn't be running. But I always thought that was part of the job. You know, of course, being retired, it's a lot easier for me. I don't have another job. This is my basic concern, whether people believe it or not, 7 days a week. And you know, I do research everything and work very well with Rick. And we've done a lot of great things over the past 3 years. I mean, I'm not sure what other administrations have done, but in 3 years, building a prison, which is the biggest probably building project in the history of Northumberland County, and building it in a way that where we chose to build it saved millions of dollars, you know, and then not only building that, bringing in the rehabilitation that we have, the juvenile facility, which I think has netted us in revenue about $280,000 right now. That's income for the county that helps defray the cost of running the prison. Gaudenzia is going to be opening up very shortly, sometime this month, which will help detox, you know, for drug and alcohol users. Hopefully that's going to save lives. And then we went and sold the top 10 acres to a medical marijuana company that will be coming in. That one, the $1.5 million we get from that will be defraying the cost of the prison. So, you know, we've done a lot in 3 years. You know, we made a pledge in the beginning. We didn't want to just bring a prison in. We wanted to do rehabilitation. We've done that, and we'll continue that for the next year. We brought this the new magistrate's office in Milton that we're working on to try to get that opened as soon as possible. So we've been very busy, you know. But there's a lot of more things to do within the next year, and then in the next administration. And that's why I decided to continue on for four more years.
Still working on the 911 problem too, that was left over from the prior administration.
Correct. We're still working on that, and some contracts and towers were signed, I think, last week. That will be fixing that. And you know, I've also been in very good communications with local counties. You know, Union, Columbia, Snyder, Montour, and I think down the road, because we're working so well together, I think you're going to be looking at some type of regional agreement between counties, because the cost of the 911 is just getting, you know, horrendous as far as the amount of money you have to put out for all the updates. And that's something that updates all the time. And I have talked to many of those commissioners. Some of them are college classmates of mine. Some of them are great friends. And I think we'll all be able to work together to do something that's best for all the counties.
Well, Joe, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if folks don't know you, Mount Carmel resident, and you're interested in being a commissioner again, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, first, I'm a Cole Township resident.
Oh, Cole Township. Sorry about that.
Yes.
You just moved him.
No, I've been in Shamokin, Cole Township all my life. Actually, I just turned 65 years old last month. So I guess I'm an official senior citizen now. But, you know, I think most of the people know about me. I'm a retired teacher. You know, I still coach football and track at Shamokin area. And, you know, have been involved in the past 3 years with a lot of things that have been happening in the county. And hopefully the people will feel that I did a good enough job to continue on for four more.
All right, let's meet Joe Klebon is here as well. Joe, step up to the mic. I'm not going to speculate on where you might live, so I'll let you fill in.
We know it's a Southern Columbia School District.
Right, within the Southern Columbia School District. Tell
yes,
us, please.
I reside
please.
In Ralpho Township, Mark. I've been there for 30 years. Originally, I did grow up in the Cole Township area. Graduated from Shamokin High School. Went to Lycoming College, where I got a Bachelor of Arts degree. Then I did get a Master's degree at Bucknell University. I began teaching at Warrior Run. I was there for 10 years. I coached numerous sports there, football, basketball, track. Had a lot of great experiences at Warrior Run. Met a lot of great people up in that part of the county. And after my tenure at Warrior Run, I went to Shamokin area as a counselor, and I spent 26 years at Shamokin area as a counselor and also involved in coaching football, basketball, and track.
Right.
And I retired from that position in 2012, and since then I've been doing a lot of things around the house for my wife.
That do list. The honey do list.
And so she wants you out of the house? Is that what you're telling us, Joe?
No. She actually doesn't want me out of the house. I have a lot more things to do on that honey do list.
And Southern Columbia School District school board member, too.
Yes, I am. I'm a member of a lot of different boards. The Southern Columbia School Board, I'm the treasurer of the Central Susquehanna Intermediate Unit. I am the chairman of the Northumberland County Authority, a commissioner with the Northumberland County Housing Authority, and the Northumberland County Recreation Committee. I serve as the scholarship chairman of the scholarship committee, which every year for the past 15 years we've been giving out scholarships to scholar athletes in all the school districts in Northumberland County. To the senior graduating scholar athletes.
All right, and why get into politics? This is a big change. All those boards and volunteer groups you're on, of course, they're volunteer groups, so you're helping to guide things, but as a commissioner, this is really going to be immersive.
Well,
it's going to be a whole nother job.
When Sam and Rick ran for commissioner 3 years ago, maybe it was 4 years ago now, Sam's been a good friend of mine for many, many years. You know, we went to high school together, and college, and we went our ways a little bit there for a while when I was at Warrior Run. But we still maintained a good friendship. And when he ran for commissioner with Rick Shuck, he and Rick asked me to be the treasurer of the their campaign committee, and I did a lot of work with them fundraising and helping out their campaign. And I liked what their goals were and their base of what they were going to do there for the county. And when Rick decided not to run, we've talked about this before, the three of us, that they asked if I would be interested in I like what they've done over the past 3 years, and I felt when they asked me if I would get involved and run for commissioner, I thought about it, discussed it with my wife, and I thought I would do it. I would be a full-time commissioner, and I have a pretty good understanding of what's going on in the county, and having served on all these different boards and committees. And I understand the politics of Northumberland County. I'm a lifelong resident. I've been here all my life. Sam's, of course, He's a lot older than I am, but
is that a little dig in there? Jeez.
Not a lot. He's older. I'm not his age yet, but
I'm 6 months older than him.
Okay. Jeez.
So,
well, you know, you picked a tough thing to jump into because Northumberland County politics, I've always said, is a body contact sport. So your coaching experience will probably come in handy.
You know, well, that's a good point because when you're a coach, a campaign and coaching, getting prepared for a game is pretty much the same thing. You have opponents that you know well. You know what to expect. How to prepare for that opponent. What kind of strategies to use. So there's a lot of similarities between politics and coaching. So if it's a contact sport, that's fine with me. I've played football on a high school level in college. I used to take hits and give hits. And if it comes to finesse, I coached basketball and played basketball. And the skills involved there to help you with it. Politics.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue to meet Joe Clebon for the first time from Ralpho Township. He is running for Northumberland County Commissioner on the Republican ticket. He is now the official running mate, running as a co-commissioner candidate with Sam Schicitano, who's with us today announcing his re-election for office. And we're going to open up the phone lines. If somebody has a question for the candidates, feel free to call. We have three emails already with the commissioner's word in the subject, so we're going to put those questions to our guests. But you can join the fray. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. You can text us at 70236, or you can call us up 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, no takers on the call for calls. 1-800,
we have emails.
Right, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Joe, read these from left to right, please.
Okay, from left to right. People with connections to your opponents have captured many headlines by charging Schock and yourself with many various accusations in court. This leaves citizens with the impression that your administration is under investigation for many things. What most people don't realize is that these accusations have been dropped and dismissed just as fast as new allegations are made. Because the baseless lawsuits are never exposed as campaign attack ads, the net result is that your opponents got to smear you in the press for free. My question is there no recourse for you in the courts to put a stop to this abuse of the legal system?
So what's he talking about, Sam, and recourse?
I'm not sure what they're talking about. I mean, I know there are people out there, for some unknown reason, who aren't satisfied with anything, who put lawsuits out for no reason, and they know they're going to be frivolous lawsuits, and they know they're going to be dropped right away. But as that caller or writer says, they get the publicity, they get the front page publicity, even though the accusations are false. And then when you try to defend yourself or the charges are dropped, it's unnoticed. So are you going to ever stop that? I don't know. I think the people have to stop it. The people have to, you know, when they see it, make some reaction to it and just say, we're not going to stand for these kinds of things anymore. Sure, if you have a legitimate gripe, bring it up. But don't make accusations and then the next week drop them, because I've learned one thing in this job. There are some people who like publicity, whether it's good or bad. And And they just like to see their name in the paper. And that's one thing. You know, people see me in the paper and they say, boy, your name's always in the paper. Well, it's something I don't try to do. It's just something sometimes you have to do. And, you know, I don't know how else to answer that question.
Joe, Clebon, you want to get involved in this fray?
Well, I would agree with Sam. You're always going to have people attacking you, whether you're trying to do something good or if they perceive it to be something that's bad. So that just comes with being in public life. Myself, being an educator, being in education, being an official. I'm a PIAA football basketball official. You're not going to make everybody happy with the decisions that you make. And sometimes you have to make tough decisions. And I think, and I know Sam a long time, and you're not going to get a more honest person than Sam. And you know, I would trust him with my life. He always is going to make the best decision that he can make for the people of Northumberland County. He's honest and he has their best interests at heart. So sometimes myself in my position as a school board member, you have to make tough decisions. And when it comes down to doing that, you got to make the decision and you stick with it. Your gut feeling, what you think is best for your constituents, and that's what you have to do.
Well, and to be clear, the county is involved in one court case that involves Cole Township and the permit fees from the prison. That's been brought up and talked about quite a bit, but Sam, you're involved in that, so that might be it's not really an accusation, it's just a statement of something that's in the news.
No, yeah, and Mark, just, you know, to be involved in it, I am in contact with two of the Cole Township commissioners regularly who want to try to settle this thing. Some people just, again, are making a political, but when you are told by your attorneys, by your contractors, by everyone else, that charges are excessive and that we should be returned a lot of money to the taxpayers of Northumberland County. And that's who I represent. I live in Cole Township. I love the people in Cole Township. I grew up with almost everyone in Cole Township, or taught at almost everyone in Cole Township. This has nothing to do with me being in Cole Township or me being against Cole Township. I love living there. I love living in Northumberland County. But I must do the right thing for the people who elected me. And if the right thing is by my attorneys telling me the charges were excessive, I will take it to the court if we have to go that far, and I hope we don't, until we find out if we're right or wrong. Maybe everybody who's giving me this advice are giving me wrong advice. I'm not smart enough to know the law and to look at other cases, but I am smart enough to listen to people who know more than me, and that's what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to represent the people that elected me.
Well, you pay for legal advice, and if you're kind of dumb if you don't take it.
Correct. Correct.
One of our other writers says, during your first 2 years as commissioner, you had to endure incessant claims that everyone in the county would be forced to sell a kidney in order to pay for the prisoner transport costs while the new prison was being built. How did those costs actually turn out in the end, and is my kidney safe?
Well, you know, the transportation cost, we needed to hire one more deputy sheriff to help in the transportation. No matter where we would have built, if we would have built the prison here at the Celotex Park, there was some transportation. Of course, it wasn't as far. We have incorporated a lot of video trials where they meet over the internet or whatever, that we don't have to do the transportation. I honestly don't think it has affected us at all. I don't think it has changed anything in the cost. In fact, being that we will have Gaudenzia starting now as January 1st paying rent for the building up there, and we have TrueCore where we have taken in, I think, at least $280,000 so far in rent. That money we're getting in revenue that never would have happened if we would have stayed here in Celotex property is going to overcome any type of increase there was. So I don't think anyone has to worry about giving a kidney or anything to make up any cost.
Well, fair enough on that one. And last, Bob says, good morning. How did security at our new county prison not see a released prison inmate stealing an employee's car? Why was their car left unlocked? I would also like to know how we are going to be able to pay for the new voting machines without going deeper in debt. Signed, Bob.
Okay, first, you know, real quick, the car being taken up at the prison. Number one, I question how anyone would leave their keys, you know, in their ignition in a car outside of a prison to begin with. But besides that, every inmate who has left go, I have been told by our warden, because we did look into this, is given a debit card to call a taxi, call anyone to pick them up and take them wherever they'd like to go. I was told that they're not forced to take a taxi, but that it's offered to them. Actually, sometime our probation people have taken them. Listen, if they take a taxi, they can tell them to take them to Walmart, drop them off, and they can look for keys and cars there also.
Well, that's true enough.
All right, so we're going to keep answering that question. If there's more to say on that, plus we got the voting machine question. Since it's two candidates, they get to stay past 9 o'clock. So two candidates, and they get a little extra time. This is WDK, okay, son?
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
And welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Joe McGranahan is with me. Rob Center, fabulous producer. Matt Cotrillo's not in the newsroom. He's down there taking a few reminiscent pictures of the Welcome to Sunbury sign that's in the news. So we'll
before
talk
it goes away.
Right, before they uproot it and get rid of that. So we'll be talking to him about that experience a little bit later on as well. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacies, toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy Mifflinburg. And you can also text us at 70236. We're right in the middle of a listener question about a car theft that happened on the campus of the Northumberland County Prison. Anything else to say about that, Sam? You are on the prison board, so this is a brought up topic there.
Yeah, it was brought up at the prison board, and you know, we have discussed with the warden again about some type of transportation. They do receive a debit card, and they are told they make a phone call to get a taxi to take them wherever they want. I have also been told that sometimes probation that's there will take them into town or take them to some place they need. You know, where do you draw the line, though? Like I said at the meeting when we talked about it, is, hey, someone could call a taxi and tell them to take them to Walmart and drop them off at Walmart. And if they want to, you know, if they for some reason are getting out of jail and want to steal a car and go back to jail, they can do it anywhere. But I think it's something that we have taken care of.
All right, so that's that. They also ask about the cost of voting machines. Well, do we need to replace voting machines if we want to have the needed paper trail? And they specifically asked if we'd have to go in debt, increase our debt service in order to get new voting machines in Northumberland County.
Well, you know, that I've gone to a CCAP meetings back in, I think, in September, and actually specifically went to that topic about the voting machines. It was very well attended by all 67 counties. I feel even worse for counties who just have purchased brand new voting machines last year, and now the governor is saying because of this lawsuit, whatever type of lawsuits that's been filed, that all counties now have to get approved voting machines that our governor is approving, that his department is approving. So even if you just have a brand new voting machines that's 1 year old, the way it seems. And at that meeting, they were going to have a set of committee up. I think Joe Kantz is on it, some of the people local, that they were going to go to the governor and try to at least get more funding from the governor or try to postpone this for a few years. I did talk to people at CEDACOG the last meeting we had, and it was brought up that most likely the governor's not going to give in on this, that they're going to force counties to get brand new voting machines. And what the 11 counties that were there, what we discussed is pretty much, listen, this isn't a tax. This isn't something that we are putting on our constituents in our counties. This is a tax by the governor. It's basically a tax that's they're telling you, you have to go out and buy these. And
another unfunded mandate.
Correct. And basically, you know, almost every county said they're not going to include it in their budget. And if the governor down the line says we have to do it, you know, it's on their heads, and let them help us get the funding to do it.
But can he do that on his own, Sam, without the legislature's approval?
I think it had something to do with...
There's your first congratulatory text right there.
I think it had something to do with a lawsuit, some type of lawsuit, maybe because of the last presidential election or something. But someone filed a lawsuit, and to appease the lawsuit, the agreement was that it won't go any further if... everybody gets these voting machines that have purple paper trails and things like that. That's where it's at. I don't think anything has been finalized yet, and at least we have talked at CEDACOG with the 11 counties that what we would do is combine, maybe have a coalition of our 11 counties come up with the voting machines that are approved and try to make some kind of deal instead of each county separately buying it, have 11 counties go in, buy the same system, and see if we can get a better price and see how much the governor is going to give us.
You know, it's funny, though, about CoStars. The state has that bidding process. Why don't they just put it out for bid and everybody in the state use the same one? You certainly could get a better price.
Definitely. You'd get a better price. And one thing I learned about CoStars is I always thought when you go CoStars, that's the lowest price you can get. I've been told that even though they give you a CoStar price, you can negotiate lower prices than that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Joe Klebon, what's your view on this? You've been monitoring the issues associated with the voting machines.
Well, Mark, I really don't know a whole lot about that right now, so I can't really make any comment without researching it. And of course, Mr. Schicchitano knows a lot more about this than I do. But as Joe alluded to earlier, I've seen state mandates come through in the educational systems where they start a program and they fund it for the first couple years, and then they say, okay, now it's yours, and the local school districts have to come up with the money to sustain those programs that they end up mandating. So. Of course, I'm all for technology and updating things. As far as the voting machines go, it would be obviously excellent to get funding from the government, like from the governor, and we'd have to research that, solicit that, and try to get support for that to lessen the tax burden on the taxpayers.
What kind of topics have you been working on and are ready for and are realize are going to have to be big issues in Northumberland County?
Well, one of the things that I'm really concerned with is the opioid crisis in our county. And, of course, that's a national problem. I think we've got to really address that in dig into the roots of that problem and try to, I mean, it's out of control right now. As a coach, I've been to too many funerals of former players and students, and it just rips my heart out to think about all that. But that's one of the problems. Renovations of the courthouse, I think that's a big issue that's going to have to be addressed. Getting that up to date with some issues that are going on there.
So those are the biggies. Okay, Joe, what do you got cooking here?
Well, no, I noticed we have a phone call.
Who?
Commissioner Rick Schock, you're on the mark this morning.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to call to congratulate Sam and Joe for making the decision to run. As Sam knows, when I originally talked to him about the fact that I wasn't planning on running again, Joe Klebon was the first name I threw out there too as someone who I thought would just be a very good fit. He's been integral already in our administration in terms of his role on the county authority put an end to some of the practices that were happening that we feel were really unfair to the vast majority of the citizens in the county and the taxpayers, and he's done a great job with that, and I think he has the right acumen and the right temperament for the job, and paramount is that he is he's shown himself to us. Sam knew him better, but I didn't know him as well, but he certainly has shown himself to me to be someone who's just very honest and trustworthy and has a real concern for the county and making it better.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks for the endorsement. Do you have a question for our guests by chance?
I guess the question would be, let me know, guys, whatever you need me to do to help you out.
And Mark, if I can,
I'm to do it.
I mean, I just would like to say to Rick, it's been a pleasure the past 3 years to work with someone as hardworking, as honest, who wanted to do the right thing, and we have a lot more to do yet this upcoming year. I never really knew Rick that well before I came into office. Him and his family have become great friends of mine, and I really appreciate all he has done, not only for me, but for the people of Northumberland County. And I just want to thank you, Rick, over the air.
All right.
So I appreciate that. And I feel likewise about you. So.
Okay. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate
thank you
your
so
call.
Much. Appreciate thank the you. Call. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line on the topic of voter registration and ID.
One of our writers says, time for voter ID. That would do more to combat voter fraud than new voting machines.
Another listener sends an email.
And it says, glad to see you both running for commissioners. You will both have a positive influence on the county from the chief.
Okay, so Dave Ritchie, our good play-by-play guy.
I thought maybe it was an Indian chief.
Oh, from Dave, yes.
he's the
we
chief.
We go back way back with Dave. We back in the 70s, we played football against Shikellamy. Dave was one of the players on the Shikellamy side, and he's a good friend of ours. Nice to hear from him.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Dave. We even whooped you guys down at the Shikellamy Brave Stadium our senior year, and it's good to see you support us. Nothing
well, maybe
personal.
You just blew that, Joe.
Chief,
no,
wait, here's
Dave's
an update.
A great
the
guy.
Chief just rescinded his endorsement. No, just kidding. All right, well, you both have a couple of moments left. We'll start with Joe Klebon. An additional comment for our audience. You can just ask people to get out the vote and support you in the primary, whatever you want to say. Sign your petition, whatever it takes.
Well, we'll be out pounding the streets, getting support and doing our thing, getting our campaign on the road here in the next, probably right after we leave the office here, we're going to start doing some things. So appreciate all the support from the residents of Northumberland County. Sam and I will be full-time commissioners. We'll do the best job we can. We'll be honest, and we'll have our door will be open to listen to any problems anybody has or any concerns. We'll be there to listen to them. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as me, Mark, I guess now things will start coming out, accusations being made, letters to the editor by people, and certain people. And I just want to let people know, whether I respond to them or not, sometimes I get sick and tired of defending myself over accusations that are lies. So whether I respond or not, I think people the past 3 years have got to know me. And I'm running with Joe because I know Joe. I know we'll be hardworking. I know we'll be honest. I know we'll put the time in. And I know we care about the people. And listen, it all comes down to the people. It's not us. And if we run and do our best and the people decide on someone else, that's fine. It's not a tragedy. I mean, there's other things in the world that I've been at a lot of people I've known in the last year that I taught with and coached with have passed away. Those are tragedies. If people don't feel we're the right people, that's fine. You know, everybody goes on. But just don't listen to things that are out there that are lies, that are not true. You know what I have done. I'm running with Joe because I know what kind of person he is. This is for the people of the county. It's not for me to be popular, Joe to be popular. And the reason I think we felt we need to run is because the good people, and there's a lot of good people all the way up from Watsontown, you know, to Trevor into Mount Carmel, everywhere. I see good people, mostly senior citizens, because they're the people that tap on my shoulder and say, you know, keep doing the job. We appreciate it. Those are the people that we're running for. And if we have the other people out there who want to say what they want to cause problems, and they don't want us, and we don't make it, that's fine. But we want to represent the good people that are in this county, the people that want our county to be one of the top counties in the state. And I think we have the ability to do that. We have done a lot the last 3 years. We're going to continue to do that. And I just think Northumberland County will thrive.
Great. Thanks for coming, gentlemen.
Yeah,
thank you guys.
Thank you so much for all of this. Cole Township resident Sam Shikitano, an incumbent commissioner, has won a 4-year term in already. He's a retired educator and football coach, so he is running for county commissioner again. And Joe Klebon is here from Ralpho Township on the Southern Columbia School Board, retired educator, coach as well, running for Northumberland County Commissioner. They're running together on the Republican ticket for Northumberland County Commissioner in the spring primary. We will be right back. We'll tell you about the hometown pharmacies, and we'll have some news headlines when we return on WDKOK.
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and August, September, October, November, December. Those are the months of the year. What's with making resolutions, whatever they're called, only at the beginning of the year? Grandmom says there are 12 whole months to make changes and that everyone should start simple. She told her friends at her yoga class how simple it is to get their prescription switched to our hometown pharmacy. Then they won't waste hours waiting in line. There's a good revolution. Don't waste time.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today. Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Did I say revolution? I meant to say resolution. Oh, you heard what I meant to say. I wonder if any of my friends made resolutions. And what's with old blank sign? This kid wants some new lane sign.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Joe McGranahan. We thank our commissioner candidates for coming in. Joe Klebon and Sam Shikitano. Sam announcing he's running for re-election, so that's an announcement. And Joe Klebon announcing that he's getting in to the commissioner's race. Some brief news headlines, but first we want to tell you about the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
Oh, please do.
Is it sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills? Did you know that?
I did.
How did you know?
I was reminding people about it for the last 3 days when you weren't here.
Oh, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trotz Pharmacy out in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. These are hometown pharmacies, offer personalized service on a first-name basis. They help you super serve customers, and some of them deliver. Some of them got drug take-back boxes, and they all help you raise up the whole local community, meaning it is an opportunity for you to participate in helping your town when you shop with a hometown pharmacy. Why? Because they support local businesses, and those local businesses support other local businesses. And I tell you what, a dollar spent in a hometown pharmacy gets rattled around 10 times over before somebody finally sends it to China at a Walmart. But then it's already made a lasting impact in the town. So Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, open 1-800-795-9565. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trotz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. Some very brief news headlines here. First responders were dispatched to the Veterans Memorial Bridge Wednesday for report of someone threatening to jump off the bridge around 8 p.m. 911 tells us that the all clear sounded around 8:30 and the individual was taken into custody without further incident. Near the Veterans Memorial Bridge, there'll soon be one fewer sign. The Welcome to Sunbury sign's got to go. Even though it's in the grassy area, it's still PennDOT's right-of-way, and PennDOT changed their mind and told the city of Sunbury to remove the sign. The mayor says they'll try to put it someplace else.
They sent me a map that I've been reviewing regarding showing where their right-of-way access is, and I'm just waiting on a response from PennDOT because I'm hoping to have a representative come up, meet with me and Councilman Chris Reese in hopes of reviewing the area and finding a new location for the sign in the same general area.
Sunbury Mayor Kirk Karlovic says the signs were a joint project of Spark and the city, and they hope to move those signs to another location. A Pennsylvania school board has voted to postpone a policy allowing teachers to carry guns in school. The Tamaqua Area School District this week voted 7-1 to postpone the policy Tuesday night. Nick Boyle, who helped create the policy, provided the only opposing vote. The policy approved in September says teachers and other employees can volunteer to undergo extensive training and then carry concealed district-issued guns. After their training, it was the full first school system in the state, but it prompted a lawsuit or two against the district that the district says they will fight, so that hopefully they will be able to implement that policy. And how young is too young? The father of a seventh grader in Michigan said Wednesday his son has a scholarship offer from Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines. And Brian Marshall says Harbaugh made the offer after watching film of his son Isaiah, who plays quarterback. Offers like this are non-binding, so it's hard to tell how seriously they should be taken. He's still a kid. We keep him pretty grounded, says his dad. This motivated him a little bit more. Brian Marshall played collegiately at Northwestern and says his first offer came to him from Purdue when he was a sophomore in high school. In 2010, the father of a 13-year-old quarterback, David Sills, says his son received an offer from a coach at Southern Columbia. The Sills ended up at West Virginia, where he was a third-team All-American this past season as a wide receiver. So recruiting kids out of the middle school to play college football. Is that a good idea?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. Well, Joe's pretty informed on college football, so.
No, I'm not.
We got.
But it doesn't seem like a good idea to me.
All right.
Speaking of bad ideas, can we speak of bad ideas?
Yes, please.
You hear Nancy Pelosi now wants the president to postpone the State of the Union address.
Oh, because of the government shutdown.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, she's afraid he's going to use it as some sort of a sounding board for the American people go right over their heads. And we're starting to see some of the Democrats waver. Her second in command yesterday said he agreed that walls were not necessarily immoral and that in some places they made a great deal of sense. So I think we're starting to see some movement on both sides. There's some Republicans who are moving, some Democrats who are moving. Maybe we'll get this thing resolved.
Well,
but I don't think the president should shut down or should not give the State of the Union message. But the conundrum is that Nancy Pelosi has to invite him.
Okay.
And if she doesn't invite him, then the question becomes, can Mitch McConnell invite him?
Over in the Senate. Well, anybody can invite anybody to do a speech in front of the
specifically,
Senate.
No, specifically, I think but the joint session.
Right.
You'd
well,
have
don't
to have
invite
the
House if they're.
Well, they have it in the House. So, I mean, the House is a bigger facility than the Senate. And if the House doesn't invite him or won't let him in because the Democrats are in control of it, I think he's got a situation.
Well, what's really lost if you don't get the State of the Union address from President Trump? I mean, half the stuff
it's
he
required
says
by the Constitution. Well, I'm sure if you're like, I happen to catch part of Morning Joe this morning, he said, well, if he gives a speech, it'll be fact checkers will be going into overdrive.
Right. Well, that's true. Although when he gave his Oval Office remarks, a lot of the things he said that night were true.
Everything he said that night was true.
No, I don't think so.
Well, what was false? What was false?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't do a personal fact check. I just assume because most of what he says is false that some of the speech had to be false. But you're saying everything he said the whole night was true?
I think every statistics he put out was accurate.
Okay. Well, that could be. I shouldn't generalize. If he actually gave a speech, you know, it's almost law of random behavior. Somebody, he's bound to say something true at some point.
I'm not familiar with that. The law of random behavior. What is that exactly?
It says that you'll say something that is reasonable eventually if you say enough statements. It's like the monkey type in the Bible.
Okay, right.
It's bound to
happen. Given an infinite number of monkeys, an infinite number of typewriters, and an infinite amount of time, they will eventually produce all the great works of literature.
Right. With citations, I might add. So
Seriously, do you think she should invite him, that Nancy Pelosi should say, or is she just going to play this for politics, too?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't bother me that she wouldn't invite him. You know, I know the State of the Union is something that's important to a lot of people, but you know, look at who it is. It's the buffoon in chief.
Oh, come on.
Half the stuff he says isn't true. So, of course, I'm sure given, if everything from his Oval Office speech was true, which I'll be more than happy to stipulate if you're certain that it was, then I think that the possibility exists that he could give a speech that would be considerably longer. It's, you know, usually it's an hour long or so, that had some true statements.
Well, you know
in
what
it
would look
well.
Like. I mean, sitting behind him would be Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, or the Vice President, and Mike
would
she Pence.
She'd be shaking her head no.
Mike Pence would be smiling and standing
shaking
up and applauding,
yes.
Right? And Nancy Pelosi would be there with that terrible expression on her face she had when she and Chuck delivered their response to the president's Oval Office message, where they look like American Gothic in one case. And my favorite was the one they sent out a picture of Lurch and Uncle Fester from the Addams Family and then juxtaposed that with a picture of Chuck and Nancy. It looked very similar. Very similar.
Well, the... I don't know. Making fun of people like that, you know, that... I
oh,
guess
come on. They make fun of President Trump all the time. And some of it he deserves.
I don't know. I think we're bigger than that. You used
you
to
do,
be
huh?
bigger than that. So
no,
I
I'm
just
not.
Think,
I'm smaller than that.
Now you are. Yeah, now. But, you know, this is an opportunity for people in the nation to rise up and be the bigger person.
But you're saying that she shouldn't invite him or that he shouldn't come because
in
he's going to be lying.
In our state of affairs with the shutdown, with his propensity for telling the truth, the fact that, you know, she's probably told a few fibs
herself.
I'm
glad herself. You admit he has a propensity for telling the truth. I'm proud of you.
Right. Unfortunately, it's not exclusive. So,
I think you meant his propensity for lying.
Well, that's part of it. So, well, he does have
alleged.
He now has a propensity for telling the truth sometimes, apparently, if his Oval Office speech was remarkably truthful. But you know what I mean. And she doesn't get along with him. So, I think an alternative venue would be fine. They really only need to put one person in the Senate, and that's him. And then, if they want the Supreme Court to come in, you know, they can come in as well.
Well, not only them. I mean, the diplomatic corps. Comes in, the justices
right,
of the Supreme
they
Court.
They just won't be able to come because of the present state of affairs and the government shutdown. You know, should not something happen different because of the shutdown? If you know, a lot of federal employees aren't getting paid, so some of the people who are involved in, protecting the president.
Well,
or,
that's her justification, that or, some of those people are furloughed.
Well, a lot of other people in a lot of other offices aren't being paid, too. So, I don't know. Do you want to go up there? Or maybe it could lead to something. Maybe, you know, the goodwill of the invitation could lead to the goodwill of the compromise. You know, they're not that far apart, you know.
Well, yeah, they are that far apart. They're about $4 billion apart.
You're right, but in government, what is that? I think Dan did the math last week for you. It's 0.001% of the budget.
Well, actually, somebody posted something I thought was very interesting, that if you boil it down, the federal government budget is like $44 trillion. But they took it down to more reasonable numbers, that if you had $44,500 and you were going to tell, you had to tell your wife that you weren't willing to spend $54 to build a fence to protect your family. Because if that's roughly the equivalent,
okay.
$44,500 to $54.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of money, $54. When I grew up, $54 was a lot of money, so you'd want to spend it wisely. But if that's your only issue, you know, if that's their only dilemma, is they're pretty far apart on that, it's ridiculous.
Well,
that
you
they
know,
can't
if
compromise.
We were having a debate about spending $5 billion to improve immigrants' living conditions in the country, I'm sure the Democrats would vote in favor of it. And you have $5 billion for the wall. Give them each $5 billion. Let the president have his $5 billion. Let the Democrats take $5 billion, and let's get on with our lives.
For homeland security.
All right, whatever the Democrats want to do with the $5
billion.
Oh,
they can't spend it on anything.
I mean, that's all
idea.
It would take is say, okay, I'll give you this in return for you giving me that, and we could move on. And they both deserve equal amounts of discredit for not coming to some sort of an agreement here to get the government back open and get things moving again.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. We would invite you to call in right now. What do you think about Nancy Pelosi's considering not issuing an invitation to the president to do the State of the Union address? Of course, it could take place in the Senate chambers, but there is a possibility that everybody who's been invited to past speeches of the State of the Union wouldn't be able to go to that. They wouldn't all fit. So this would be an opportunity for, to carry on the disputes
thinner
in Washington.
People.
All right, everybody's going to have to lose a few pounds. They got to get down to fighting weight before
to get in the Senate.
Right, it's like wrestlers. I got to get down to the right weight. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Should we cancel the State of the Union? 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565. Should Nancy Pelosi invite President Trump to the U.S. House of Representatives sometime near the end of the month? I forget the precise date, but to do a State of the Union address, do we even need it? What would be the value of that? 1-800-795-9565 is the number to express your opinion. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com. Cindy, thanks for calling in to the question, should we have a State of the Union or not?
Good morning, gentlemen. First, I urge my neighbors, drink in that sunshine because pretty soon it's going to vanish. And we're going to be up to our eyeballs in snow. But with regards to the State of the Union, you know, Washington, this custom of gathering in the building of Congress to the Capitol building to do this was not since the beginning. President Washington just sent him a letter. And, you know, every year he would send them a letter about the State of the Union. And really, it's turned into a theater, quite the theatrical production. I know these people are in desperate need of exercise because, you know, they use it as an occasion to do stand-ups, like in wrestling, without any opposition. They're just up, down, up, down. It's just tedious beyond belief. And typically, what the president is going to say is released in advance and trampled all over by the press. So I don't see why we couldn't think of a different way to achieve this goal. It is supposed to be a here's where we are as a country report. And I think really who the president answers to is not Congress, but is us, the American people. So I would think I would be just as well served by him making a speech from the Oval Office if he wanted to do that, or for him to email out to all Americans the State of the Union as he sees it, so that we can read it at our leisure and make our own decisions and just remove Congress and that big show from the whole thing.
All right, so constitutionally, he just has to make a report of some sort?
Correct.
I like George Washington's letter. He can just mail us all a letter.
Well, he sent it to Congress. I'm not saying he sent it to the American people, but I'm just saying the point here is to tell us where we stand as a country. Now, it's kind of morphed from that into what I've pointed out in years gone by. It's like a ridiculous theater production, and it's more applause than it is substance. So I am not at all against any alternative plan. You know, obviously at some point someone decided they should go up there to Capitol Hill and make this address. Well, we can change that. We're not wedded to this. It's not a constitutional mandate that we have to have all this theater. So we could do it in any number of ways. He could blast it out online, and anybody who wants to find out can watch through their computer or on their little phone. I mean, there's lots of alternatives. I don't think we're wedded to this. And that would hopefully remove this political theater from it.
Well, I'm sure the Democrats will be yelling at him.
But it's always been political theater, Cindy. Even when it's written, it's political theater.
Well, fair enough, but it's not, you know, I mean, I'm trying to get the substance of the thing, and all I'm getting is up, down, up, down. For people who have not watched this, you know, I would say, Ma, the American people, we have joined together, and half the audience who are congressmen, senators, et cetera, jump to their feet and applaud for 2 minutes and sit down. And then I try to say something. And, I mean, during Barack Obama's tenure, he could barely get out 2 sentences before they leapt to their feet again. It just wrecks. If you're a speaker, a public speaker, this just destroys the power of your speech, frankly. I think it's ridiculous. So, I don't know. I understand. I've never been on a TV show in the audience, but I understand there are people that step out and raise up signs that go applaud now to cue the audience to do things. I wonder, are there people doing that when you watch this, you know? And you could watch it on C-SPAN. C-SPAN runs all those things. So for all of us with C-SPAN, we could still watch if he sat down at the Oval Office and gave his speech. Again, he's not accountable to Congress, no more than they're accountable to him. So maybe a different format where he sends his message to all of us realigns where the accountability lies.
But the accountability under the Constitution is that he must make that presentation to the Congress.
Well, he could send them a letter.
Not to the American people.
He could send them a letter. He could beam it over if he wanted to in an email and save us all a lot of money. He doesn't need to go in there and the television and the 20 minutes to get to the podium with everybody clapping and holding hands.
You think that's what would happen with this president? You think that would happen?
Do I think what would happen?
People clapping and patting him on the back. I think it's more likely somebody might have a knife.
Because it is a show, I believe that the people who are aligned with him will make a great show of supporting him. And those who aren't will remain in their seats, which is what just gone on now. In the 2 decades I've watched this, that's pretty much the show. Half the audience gets up and the other half doesn't. That's pretty much what goes on, with the exception of the fact that the Supreme Court justices, God help them, sit there and don't react at all, which is, I don't even know why.
And fall asleep.
Well, in the past.
That has happened. Okay.
One woman has dozed off during the speech, and I would be surprised if she was there because she's ill. But really, let's rethink it. What is the goal of this, and then how can we achieve it? We're not wedded, cementing our feet into the past. We can choose a new modality, and it could revolutionize the whole thing and give it far more meaning than it has now, because it's really just degraded into...
And President Trump would be the pivot point.
P.T. Barnum kind of thing. What?
President Trump would get the credit for that, and that would be a good accolade for his administration. And we'd be better off for it.
Or Mrs. Pelosi, if she was going to, she sent this letter saying she doesn't want him to come or whatever it says. I haven't actually read it. But, she's not the decider about whether or not we're informed about the State of the Union.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much.
Deny the theater.
Appreciate the call, Cindy. Thanks for checking in. John, you're next up from Cole Township on the State of the Union address. Should we have one or not?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm questioning whether it's necessary to be done even in the month of January. Does not he have the entire year to produce a State of the Union?
That's a good question. It's typically done this time of year.
Correct. I think that's just customary. If I recall correctly, which it's always possible I get something wrong. Now, regarding if I could rip through a bunch of issues, all these statistics that they're throwing out about the wall, do they really think that people are carrying like 1.7 million pounds of drugs over the border on their backs? This fence is going to be where people are walking, and yet most of the drugs by far are smuggled in, hidden in washing machines or something crossing the border. So the Republicans are having a fun time conflating the statistics with this supposed border crisis, just like the Democrats like conflating the statistics and then saying that they need to take all of our guns away. About voting machines, if they want some verification, why don't they pull a random machine off the shelf while everybody else is voting, and then double check the one machine to see that, because they're all programmed the same, or if anybody would take a risk at programming some wrong, if a random machine was pulled off the rack and checked at the same time, that would save everybody a fortune. You just need one extra machine per county. It's ridiculous that people worry about the programming of these things. In Las Vegas, they had a problem with somebody reprogramming the slot machines to pay off if you put in a very specific number of tokens. You only put 2 in and 4 and 1 and some crazy pattern and it would pay out, and they put in a check bit for the software so that you couldn't modify the software without people knowing about it. It's too easy, but when it comes to the government, if we're going to buy new voting machines, actually go 21st century. Let the voting machine be capable of doing ranked choice voting, where you say 1, 2, 3, I'd rather this person, and then second this person. It just totally ruins the idea of a spoiler vote. Another thing, when they do the order of the people on the ballot, if you are running for school board and it's like a vote 4 and there's 5 Republicans, you hit the R button, it's the luck of the draw of that 5th person to not get a vote when you hit the R button. That's ridiculous. If you're going to get new voting machines, why not make sure that the options for who you vote for rotate each time? It's the 21st century. We're playing with these antiques, and we'd buy more, and they still wouldn't have some basic fair capabilities.
One of our listeners suggests we use blockchain voting devices. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, sure, yeah. It's part of the whole crypto backbone type thing. And, yeah, I don't see why not.
So that means when I register a vote at my polling place out in the field, it registers a vote over in the courthouse or wherever the base of operations is?
Yeah, correct. You know, but it still should be verifiable in the sense that what if somebody got a hold of the programming so that you hit the button, but by the time it got to the courthouse, it was flipped. You still have to verify that what you hit was what showed up at the courthouse.
The so-called paper trail at the polling place might be a
That's
good
why
place
I like paper
that.
Ballots. They are still an like indelible it. Record of how somebody voted. You can count the number of ballots against the number of people who showed up, and it's very hard to, tamper with a paper ballot if they are handled properly.
All right, John.
Couldn't agree more. I'm just saying, though, that if you're going to upgrade the machines, don't do it one little improvement at a time. Let's look to see what the 21st century can bring us in machines and actually get ahead on this rather than this piecemeal stuff, because our voting machines aren't bad. I would think a good compromise, maybe I should contact the Harrisburg about this, is to say, pull one off the shelf. But if somebody's still using an even older machine in our county, then maybe an update is
in order. All right, we got you, John.
Thank you
so much.
Take care.
Appreciate the call.
Incidentally, the State of the Union message is generally given and is required to be given at the beginning of each calendar year.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well, that answers that. So within the first month or so, we typically have this.
Right.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. We sort of have a sub-theme going here. This is the voter machine issue that popped up on the Northumberland County discussion that we had earlier. So we have an email that relates to that. We'll read that. We have some other emails on the should Nancy Pelosi invite the president to the U.S. Congress to give a State of the Union, or as Cindy suggested, just to have the president give a speech some other how, some other way. All right, 1-800-795-9565. What should we do about the State of the Union? You call us now. 1-800-795-9565. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Our show sponsored by the folks from this company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. We got a lot of words to read out loud. We'll stick with the voter theme briefly here. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, let's see. Blockchain-based voting would provide more integrity in election results than voter ID, says one writer.
And we figured out the blockchain sort of tethers the individual voting machines to the base operation. So you see one vote comes in and you see the total goes up back at the courthouse or wherever.
And then one of our other writers says, good morning. I wanted to say I campaigned for Sam, Rick, and Kimberly Best. I want to ask Joe if he can get along better with commissioners than Rick did. And, of course, we'll see whether or not he does if he gets elected. Margaret says, good morning, guys. I think they should put the sign at the riverfront entrance to Sunbury, just saying. And David says about the State of the Union message, Dave on the Hill. I heard a TV political commentator suggest he give the speech in front of the wall with border guards and ICE agents behind him, along with families of people who were murdered by the illegals. Well, there would be a visual impact.
Right. Well, and the ICE workers wouldn't be being paid at that time, so that would further underscore, you know, that message that he has.
Right. And then one of our other writers says, good morning. The only thing I want our president to say is our government is open.
All right.
And finally, well, not finally. There's one other one. Hello. Funny, has Trump shut down the government so his tax returns can be delayed? Let's do McDonald's for lunch.
Okay. And a text.
And a text says, let me see, where's this one start?
Text
of Article 2, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution does not say the president have to give a State of the Union address from Congress. He can give it from the Oval Office. I'd be happy with that. Then he wouldn't. I wouldn't have to watch the Congress disrespect the president like Pelosi and Dems did last year.
Oh, what were they doing, making faces?
Yeah,
something?
They always sit there. I mean, they look like somebody hit them in the face with a lemon pie.
Do they roll their eyes?
Yeah, well, half do. I mean, the last year, at least the two people sitting behind the president were both Republicans. This year, one will be a Republican, one a Democrat. I mean, the classic over the years, even Barack Obama, when he had, different people behind him. Some of them would applaud. Some of them would sit there looking sour and bored.
Oh, brother, written all over their face. You can read this, Joe.
All right. Sorry, Joe, it is from time to time. He shall from time to time, right. And that's what I said. It doesn't have to be every year, but from time to time.
He shall from time to time.
Give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient.
All right. So
that is the direct word.
So he doesn't have to do it every year. He doesn't have to do it any time.
From time to time.
Right. So that could be every
2 years.
And
up until 1913, when Woodrow Wilson did it live, it was sent and in the mail, or it was sent in letter form.
Can you imagine? We got the State of the Union here.
It's here in the mail. Came
a letter. It didn't come today. Well, maybe tomorrow.
A letter, I should say,
right.
Not mail.
Well, the post office isn't being paid, so actually they are. They're a different group.
And Woodrow
people.
Wilson used it to advance his political agenda, and that's kind of been the consideration ever since.
Well, that's actually in the description there, that you can use it to come up with some initiatives that you think are expedient.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the last, since the last 100 years, basically, it has been live and it has been from the House of Representatives. I see no reason for that to change, you know, and I think what Nancy Pelosi's afraid of is she doesn't want to give him an opportunity to make his case to the American people. Obviously, he's going to talk about the shutdown and the wall if it's still going on.
Well, I'm sure it will be at this rate. I don't think he should do it. It's really a waste of money if they're concerned about all the workers who are going to be working.
Well, money. These people, congressmen, are getting paid. He's getting paid.
Well, no, but they have security and drivers, and Homeland Security will be flipping out, and the Secret Service, when you have every key person in the government in the same building. You know, half the chain of command is going to be there, and of course, some other designated survivors will be elsewhere. So
that was a good show. I'm sorry that went off the air.
Yeah, me too. But that's another
coming
topic.
Back on Netflix, by the way.
Oh, is it okay?
Yeah.
But anyway, it'd be so much less expensive. It's just a big brouhaha. The president can make a speech from the Oval Office. You want to watch it and applaud him? Feel free to. If not, don't watch it. You know, just read the text version of it, or don't pay attention to it at all, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. He's required to give this for the edification of Congress.
To give something. So,
well, yes, but how will we guarantee the congressmen watch if the president gives a speech and they're not compelled to be there?
You think they're all closely glued to it and paying attention?
I wonder who there'd probably be a lot of volunteers to be the designated survivor.
I'd like to be hidden in a basement anywhere where the president is not.
Fair enough.
Well, we'll take this up tomorrow. We got a caller coming in, so hopefully.
Not with me, you won't.
Ben Reichle will be in tomorrow. We're also going to be talking to some folks that recently made a trip to the border. This is News Radio 1070 WDKO, okay, Sunbury.